Pistols, on the mark!
Legendary was the Xanadu, where Kublai Khan decreed his stately pleasure dome. Today, almost as legendary as Florida's Xanadu, world's largest private pleasure ground. Here, on the deserts of the Gulf Coast, a private mountain was commissioned and successfully built. 100,000 trees, 20,000 tons of marble are the ingredients of Xanadu's mountain. Contents of Xanadu's palace. Paintings, pictures, statues, the very stones of many another palace. A collection of everything. So big it can never be catalogued or appraised. Enough for 10 museums, the loot of the world. Xanadu's livestock, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, the beast of the field and jungle. Two of each, the biggest private zoo since Noah. Like the pharaohs, Xanadu's landlord leaves many stones to mark his grave. Since the pyramids, Xanadu is the costliest monument a man has built to himself. Here in Xanadu last week, Xanadu's landlord was laid to rest. A potent figure of our century, America's Kublai Khan, Charles Foster Kane. Humble beginnings in this ramshackle building, a dying daily. Kane's empire in its glory held dominion over 37 newspapers, two syndicates, a radio network, an empire upon an empire. The first of grocery stores, paper mills, apartment buildings, factories, forests, ocean liners, an empire through which for 50 years flowed in an unending stream the wealth of the Earth's third richest gold mine. Famed in American legend is the origin of the Kane fortune. How to boarding house keeper Mary Kane by a defaulting boarder in 1868 was left a supposedly worthless deed to an abandoned mine shaft, the Colorado Lode. 57 years later, before a congressional investigation, Walter P. Thatcher, grand old man of Wall Street, for years chief target of Kane Paper's attacks on trusts, recalls a journey he made as a youth.
And still another opinion.
Urged his country's entry into one war, opposed participation in another, swung the election to one American president at least, spoke for millions of Americans, was hated by as many more. For 40 years, appeared in Kane newsprint, no public issue on which Kane papers took no stand. No public man whom Kane himself did not support or denounce. Often support, then denounce.
Twice married, twice divorced. First to a president's niece, Emily Norton, who left him in 1916. Died 1918 in a motor accident with their son. 16 years after his first marriage, 2 weeks after his first divorce, Kane married Susan Alexander, singer at the town hall in Trenton, New Jersey. For wife, too, one-time opera singing Susan Alexander, Kane built Chicago's Municipal Opera House. Cost, $3 million.
Conceived for Susan Alexander Kane, half finished before she divorced him, the still unfinished Xanadu. Cost, no man can say. Kane, holder of mass opinion though he was, in all his life was never granted elective office by the voters of his country. But Kane papers were once strong indeed, and once the prize seemed almost his.
In 1916, as independent candidate for governor, the best elements of the state behind him, the White House seemingly the next easy step in a lightning political career. Then, suddenly, less than 1 week before election, defeat, shameful, ignominious. Defeat that set back for 20 years the cause of reform in the U.S. Forever canceled political chances for Charles Foster Kane. Then, in the first year of the Great Depression, a Kane paper closes. For Kane, in 4 short years, collapse. 11 Kane papers merged, more sold, scrapped. To change the world. But Kane's world now is history, and the great yellow journalist himself lived to be history, outlived his power to make it. Alone in his never-finished, already decaying pleasure palace, aloof, seldom visited, never photographed, an emperor of newsprint continued to direct his failing empire, vainly attempted to sway, as he once did, the destinies of a nation that had ceased to listen to him. Cease to trust him. Then, last week, as it must to all men, death came to Charles Foster Kane.
You! On the march!